This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Russia investigation goes next level. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. Thursday, May 18. Glad you're with us. Here's what's up this hour.
The Attorney General's office has picked former FBI Director Robert Mueller to lead a probe into allegations of Russian election meddling.
Sad news from the music world this morning. Rocker Chris Cornell died suddenly last night after a show in Detroit. You know him as founder and lead singer of Soundgarden, also part of Radio Slave and Temple of the Dog.
A jury in Oklahoma has acquitted a Tulsa police officer who fatally shot an unarmed motorist. Hear reaction from both sides.
And on the medical front, the mystery of Steve Kerr's back pain.
Fewer than 5% of people who undergo this type of surgery, which is a very common surgery, it's the most common back surgery, have complications like he did. So he is definitely in the minority, but certainly, as anyone who's undergone any medical procedure knows, if you're the one it happens to, it's very tragic and difficult.
Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Bachman on what's going on with the head coach of the Golden State Warriors. She's here in about 20 minutes. Former FBI Director Robert Mueller has been tapped as special counsel to oversee the federal investigation into Russia's alleged interference in the 2016 election. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein yesterday made the announcement due to what he called unique circumstances. He made clear that this was not the result of finding that crimes have been committed, he said, or that any prosecution is warranted. It's not clear what the parameters would be, so Mr. Mueller could conduct a broad, open-ended investigation with no completion deadline. Connecticut Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal.
I think now the question is, will he have the independence and resources as well as the freedom and the mandate to pursue wrongdoing and the evidence wherever it leads?
Mr. Mueller, who led the FBI under Presidents Bush and Obama, is the second longest-serving director behind J. Edgar Hoover. In a statement late yesterday, President Trump said, quote, "There was no collusion between my campaign and any foreign entity. I look forward to this matter concluding quickly." Also, by the way, Mr. Rosenstein will brief senators today on Mr. Trump's decision to fire former FBI Director James Comey. New developments in the stories involving former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. The New York Times is reporting that Mr. Flynn, the retired Army Lieutenant General, told President Trump's transition team weeks before the inauguration that he was under federal investigation for secretly working as a paid lobbyist for Turkey during the campaign. More now from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Mr. Flynn's disclosure was first made to the transition team's chief lawyer, Donald McGahn, on January 4th, 16 days before the inauguration. The Times says the conversation, and one 2 days later between Mr. Flynn's lawyer and transition lawyers, shows that the Trump team knew about the investigation of Mr. Flynn far earlier than had been previously reported. Fox News says the Justice Department investigation was not seen as disqualifying Mr. Flynn from the National Security Advisor position. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. 9 minutes after the hour. Well, it's difficult to get Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to play anything but the long game. That's his political strategy. He doesn't get caught up in the day-to-day chaos that could sometimes consume the Capitol for short periods of time, even right now. His profile from Jason Dick, leadership editor at Roll Call. Jason, what'd you put together?
Well, just a little bit of background on that. Mitch McConnell's memoir that came out last year is called The Long Game, and it really spells out what his strategy is, which is that he does not like to get into the sort of small ball fracas, you know, political fight of the day. He likes to keep his, you know, his eyes on the prize, really, which is being majority leader, which is delivering on Republican legislative priorities, getting, you know, conservative Supreme Court justices confirmed, as he had this year. And he really is somebody who, you know, in terms of staying on message, it's he's an absolutely, you know, meticulous messenger for the Republican Party, and particularly for Senate Republicans. And in a week like this, where it's difficult, even, I mean, I'm paid to do this, right? I'm paid to keep up with the news. It's difficult to keep up with what's going on. I mean, there's so much going on. And, you know, McConnell he stays on message. He had some messages to deliver yesterday, which is we could use a little bit less drama. Yeah. And then he kind of stuck to health care. He wanted to talk about health care. He just kind of kept on it, even when questioned about the FBI director, about, you know, sort of whatever latest news is coming out of the White House.
Yeah, I think on the show on Wednesday, I managed a 4-second soundbite from him saying basically the same thing. We could use a little less drama. It's kind of like, next question, please. How does he do that?
You know, I mean, he is on Capitol Hill. Those people, you know, who have observed Mitch McConnell for a long time, and I, you know, I'm in the medium range. You know, the people who have been there for, you know, since the beginning, you know, of his career, or at least his rise in leadership, say that, you know, he literally doesn't say a word that doesn't serve some sort of purpose that he's going for. So, I mean, and he'll use the fewest number of words available to do that. So he is, you know, I mean, there is just a discipline there. And, you know, in regardless of what, you know, where your political leanings are, when you look at members of Congress right now and you look at, you know, members of the White House, you see that there is, people are kind of like learning on the job. Mitch McConnell is a professional, and even though that creates some problems, you know, sometimes with, in terms of what people want out of public life, they don't necessarily want just a tactician or somebody who is just so kind of cold-blooded about things, or a technocrat, but he is that person. He is a professional, and he's super disciplined. And whether it is, you know, who knows where it comes from? You know, I mean, he had a fairly rough upbringing. He was stricken with polio as a child. I mean, he's gone through some tough parts of life, and you know, he's a tough figure. Just ask any Democrat who's tried to take him on.
Wow. So, as somebody perceived as a professional, you think that means he sleeps well at night, even when there's chaos around him?
You know, I mean, he does. It's weird. He has this sort of Zen quality to him. he rarely gets rattled. I mean, as about as close as it came was something when he was asked. You know, there's just this scrum every Tuesday. The Republicans get together for lunch. Well, they get together for lunch most days, but on Tuesday there's a big lunch in the Capitol, and then afterwards the Republican and the Democratic leaders come out and they sort of answer questions from the press and give their own messages. And he was, you know, he was talking about health care. That was the message he wanted to deliver, that Senate Republicans are working on repeal and replacement legislation for Obamacare. I mean, of course, every question was about Trump and, you know, talking to the Russians or Comey or, you know, like all this kind of stuff. And he was asked, the second or third question was that he was asked, do you have any concerns about President Trump's ability to handle sensitive or classified information? And there was this pause. And it was amazing because there were a lot of people in the corridor, the Ohio clock corridor. And then he just sort of simply said, no, and went to the next question. And that really, for a politician, you know, to do that, to have that kind of discipline to say one word simply, I mean, that takes a lot of confidence.
Thanks, Jason. Jason Dick, leadership editor at Roll Call. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can also follow me directly on Twitter @GordonDeal. A jury in Oklahoma has found a police officer not guilty in the shooting death of an unarmed motorist last year. Tulsa police officer Betty Shelby had been charged with manslaughter in the September 2016 shooting death of Terrence Crutcher during an encounter that began with the report of a stalled vehicle. Officer Shelby is white. Mr. Crutcher, a father of four, was black. Tiffany Crutcher, sister of Mr. Crutcher, reacted after the verdict.
Terrence was not the aggressor. Betty Shelby was the aggressor. Betty Shelby had the gun. Betty Shelby was following him with his hands up.
Dashcam video shows Mr. Crutcher walking to his car with his hands up before reaching into the driver's side window. One of the officers fired his taser. Ms. Shelby fired her gun, striking him in the lung. District Attorney Stephen Kunzweiler.
I'm proud of this jury that they at least made a decision based upon what they saw, all the evidence, and they applied the law to the evidence, and we have to live with that judgment.
An attorney for Ms. Shelby said she believed Mr. Crutcher was under the influence of hallucinogenic drugs during the encounter. A toxicology report revealed that he was, including PCP. 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a former FBI boss, has been named special counsel to oversee an inquiry into Russia's alleged meddling in the election and any Trump campaign ties. In naming Robert Mueller, the deputy attorney general said it was in the public interest to have an outsider. The appointment was widely endorsed by politicians from both sides, including Republican Congressman Daryl Issa of California.
Well, I think he has a long history of honorable service. I think he was a good choice. Of course, it's going to be about making sure he has sufficient assets to do his job.
Calls for a special investigation had grown since President Trump fired James Comey last week. Reuters is reporting that Michael Flynn and other advisors to Trump's campaign were in contact with Russian officials and others with Kremlin ties in at least 18 calls and emails during the last 7 months of the presidential race. Six of the previously undisclosed contacts were phone calls between Sergei Kislyak, Russia's ambassador to the U.S., and Trump advisors, including Flynn. Four potential candidates to lead the FBI, including former Connecticut Senator Jill Lieberman, have met with President Trump and Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Former Oklahoma Governor Frank Keating, Andrew McCabe, currently the Bureau's acting director, and Richard McFeely, a former top FBI official, also went to the White House for interviews yesterday. Rocker Chris Cornell, who gained fame as the lead singer of Soundgarden and later Audioslave, has died at age 52. Cornell died last night in Detroit. His wife and family are said to be shocked by his sudden and unexpected death. Cornell helped architect the 90s grunge rock movement. He was also a Grammy Award-winning, Golden Globe-nominated singer, songwriter, guitarist, composer, and lyricist. And this sounds like a place I have to visit, a museum dedicated to cats. The American Museum of the House Cat, now open in Sylva, North Carolina, was founded by a retired college professor and a cat shelter owner. The museum traces the history of the house cat and the animal's relationship with humans over time and includes 10,000 artifacts.
Wow, you could conduct like a full college semester on that. You could be like a lecturer at the museum.
They're pretty interesting animal. They go way, way, way back. I'm going to have to check this out.
Thanks, Jennifer. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Steve Kerr was a fit 49-year-old former pro athlete who regularly golfed and surfed. Then his back started bothering him. The Golden State Warriors had recently won the 2015 NBA title when their coach found himself in excruciating pain. It became so bad that Mr. Kerr struggled to walk. He decided to undergo surgery to repair a ruptured disc. Now he regrets it. The story is from Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Bachman. Rachel, set this up.
Well, what happened was Coach Kerr, you know, who is a former pro basketball player himself, a couple of years ago started feeling lower back pain. It got really bad, and he made a decision that many people make, which is to have a lower back surgery called microdiscectomy. And what that means is basically the surgeon goes in and removes material from a herniated disc, and it's supposed to relieve the pain. Well, there were complications from his surgery, and long story short, 2 years later, he's still suffering some of those complications and, in fact, is not on the sideline for the Golden State Warriors right now.
Now, most will say that this is rare that he's having these kinds of problems, right?
Yes, that's right. Fewer than 5% of people who undergo this type of surgery, which is a very common surgery, it's the most common back surgery, have complications like he did. So he is definitely in the minority, but certainly, as anyone who's undergone any medical procedure knows, if you're the one it happens to, it's very tragic and difficult, and he's suffering through those after effects now.
Boy, explain what he went through, too, kind of after that initial surgery, kind of maybe medically what happened, and then what he tried to do to alleviate the pain.
there was essentially a tear where there shouldn't have been, which caused a spinal fluid leak during the procedure. And as a result, he was left with these lingering complications like headaches and other ways his body was sort of going haywire. And he couldn't make it stop.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal health writer Rachel Bachman about her story entitled The Medical Riddle of Steve Kerr's Back Pain. So then, essentially, Steve Kerr slaps the entire back surgery industry in the face and says, if you have a back problem, stay away from surgery.
Yes. He said that. He said, do not do this. Basically, don't do what I do, what I did. And certainly, I think to some extent, a lot of surgeons even would agree with him. You know, surgery should always be a last resort. There's all kinds of risks in any surgery, from undergoing general anesthetic to the risk of infection. Not to mention, the risk of an error, like happened to him. But this really really slammed the industry and left a lot of them talking about this, because this is a very successful surgery.
Thanks, Rachel. Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Bachman. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. It's Small Business Month, and Dell is celebrating innovators and job creators in a big way, like up to 40% off business PCs big, even a free 1 terabyte external hard drive with select purchases big. Call 877-BUY-DELL today to connect with a U.S.-based advisor. They're ready to help with tech solutions tailored to your business, like finding just the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, because your hard work is more than appreciated, it's admired. Call 877-BUY-DELL today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, May 18. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Mueller appointed special counsel for Russia probe. Soundgarden founder and lead singer Chris Cornell died last night at the age of 52 after performing in Detroit. U.S. and European officials are dropping their decision to ban laptops as carry-ons. Two men in Indonesia are being punished for being gay. The sentence from the Sharia court, 85 lashes. The Cash Me Outside girl could be bringing her act to a stage. Yeah, according to TMZ, nobody knows why. And guess who's been kind of a secret co-pilot on flights for some 20 years? That story in about 20 minutes. It's time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Council. If you want to take your business to the top, take it to a top 10 state for business, Michigan. Contact MichiganBusiness.org today. Well, a long period of calm ended on Wall Street yesterday, with investors growing increasingly anxious about the future of President Trump's legislative agenda. Yesterday was the worst sell-off since September, with the Dow Industrials off 372 points. That's nearly 2%. That said, the index is still up 12% since the election. Analysis now from Leonard Raskin, financial expert and CEO of Raskin Global, based in Baltimore. He's with us live this morning. Leonard, with that sharp sell-off yesterday, given we've had a busy week of D.C. news, was it a surprise that it was yesterday?
I think it's always a surprise when it actually happens. I don't know. Yesterday, I think, made it a big deal, or certainly popped up because of this supposed Comey thing. So this memo made everybody freak out yesterday, and away go the traitors.
Could the special counsel announcement perhaps free up the Trump administration to, say, more effectively push the agenda? Because they've been bogged down playing a lot of defense lately.
Well, here's hoping. Maybe they could message a little better, and certainly they could get back to the basics for them, which is tax reform, regulatory reform, this healthcare reform, and get these projects moving again and stop having to spend every press conference answering whether or not the president, I think, is Russian, is what we're trying to figure out, whether or not he's Russian.
Where are investors headed at this point? What did we see yesterday?
Well, what we saw yesterday was a lot of scared. For the first time in a while, people, for whatever reason, again, I think it's a Comey thing, but what happened was we got a little spooked and people started to sell a little bit. And then all the traders and the institutions say, okay, we got to sell. So down goes the market. And with that news, everybody starts jumping on that bandwagon. I think the fact of the matter is as an investor, it should mean nothing to you what happened. And your portfolio waiting for news of what's going to happen next is a bad signal of how to invest.
Yeah.
The long term here is let's diversify our portfolio. Let's stick with the long term. Let's not react to the news of the day, whether up or down. And in the long term, as an investor, diversify, rebalance when these things happen. Put into your portfolio the things that weren't there before that may be on sale a little bit. Balance into the stocks and make sure that over the long term, you simply hold that portfolio. You'll be rewarded for it getting out. For instance, because of yesterday or whatever happens today, would be to your detriment because chances are this thing's going to turn around really fast. And when it does, you're out, you miss it.
Mm. We're speaking live this morning with Leonard Raskin, financial expert, also CEO of Raskin Global based in Baltimore. So yesterday, stocks, at least the Dow, was down nearly 2%. Is that at all a window into a potential correction here? Because we've had a good run for some time.
Had a great run, and as you said before, since the election, we're still way up, and we haven't had a significant correction pullback from that at all. But if we look at the earnings that have just come out over this quarter, you know, most things look pretty good. Mm-hmm. Most companies are making money, the profits, the revenues, things look good. Certainly, the retail doesn't look so great. And yesterday, the banking didn't look so great because people are thinking, well, wait a minute, well, if something happens to Trump, will these regulations be cut? Will taxes be cut? And certainly it sends a ripple through the market. But a 1.5% sell-off in the Dow, the NASDAQ, the S&P surely does not a correction make. And I'm not about predicting the market. You know, we got the Preakness coming up here in Baltimore this weekend. I might be better off at predicting the horses,
right?
1 out of 10 shot, than predicting what's going to happen to the market over the near term. And we never advise investors to try to guess what's going to happen in the near term. We're looking 20 years, not 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And let's face it, the horse race is 2 minutes. That was yesterday.
All right. So listen, as long as you reference the 20 years, I got to bring this up. This was this week, the 20th anniversary of Amazon going public, right? So I think the numbers are if you invested $10,000 back then and sat on it, you'd have 4.9 million today. So
hey, you and I wouldn't be talking.
I'd be on the beach. So would you. So what's what's the next Amazon? Come on, give us that window.
Oh, I have no clue. No clue at all. I mean, an investor trying to do that is going to be that lucky. God bless.
Right.
I don't even have a name because when Amazon went public, who knew? You know, there's companies going public every day. You look back, what was it, just a couple few months ago, it hasn't even been that long, Snap went public.
Yeah.
People wanted it really bad, boom, you know, they're worth less than they went public. Who knows what that'll be in 20 years, but that 20-year game, you just get so lucky, you know, that's such a luck hit.
Yeah.
That you get the right one, so God bless somebody that knows which one that is. Again, like you said, they'd be sitting on the beach sipping drinks watching the Preakness from there.
That's right. To be fair, that's kind of investing, especially Amazon back then, not for the faint of heart. Hey, thanks for a few minutes as always. Leonard Raskin, CEO of Raskin Global, based in Baltimore. 19 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning, America's First News. By the way, his reference to the Preakness, always dreaming, the Derby winner, listed as the early favorite. Thanks for being with us on this Friday Eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, you know, when I'm putting these segments together for the show every morning, I come across all manner of snake stories, Gordon, usually of the garden variety, where a snake pops up in someone's car or is seen fighting another animal on the side of the road. These two, however, were a little more unusual. First, we go to Jacksonville, Florida, yes?
I see what you did there. The garden variety?
Yes.
Like garden.
Yes, or the garter variety. Yeah, this one's a little more deadly, though, okay. Unfortunately. First, we go to Jacksonville, Florida, where a man was in critical condition after he apparently tried to kiss a rattlesnake but was bitten instead. The unidentified man was conscious when rescue workers responded on Tuesday afternoon, but he did have to be airlifted to a nearby hospital. A friend of the victim said he had been drinking while handling the seemingly calm snake.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I know.
There was alcohol involved?
This does come
with
as a
the guy
to you.
Who is going to kiss a rattlesnake.
I know. Huh. You were shocked.
Go figure.
So when he moved toward the reptile as if to kiss it, the snake jumped up and bit him. Authorities believe the snake is an eastern diamondback rattlesnake. It wasn't immediately clear where the snake came from. It is illegal to keep a rattlesnake in Florida without a license.
Is this guy, he has the nickname Genius?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we wish him well. Again, he was not doing well, and he was airlifted to a hospital. We wish him the best, but again, obviously, that's a bad move.
A preventable accident,
yes.
Let's call this.
That's okay. What we can call that, yep. Yes. And, a little more lighthearted, we know that neither snow nor rain nor heat nor gloom of night will stop mail carriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. Snakes, on the other hand, will shut that down real quickly. According to WLEX-TV, a Lexington, Kentucky neighborhood felt cut off when their mail stopped showing up, but it was almost a week before they found out why their mail carrier just stopped coming by. One resident finally called the post office, and that's when she was told that the mailman had stopped delivering because he got spooked by snakes. The post office told the resident that the mail carrier said he saw 50 snakes in the neighborhood,
jeez,
leading to his boycott. After the complaints from residents, the carrier was back out there again this week, but this time with reinforcements. Another person with him, presumably on snake spotting duty.
Wow. 50 snakes in a neighborhood? That's it came across?
That's what he says. But then this woman who they interviewed said she's been living in the neighborhood for 40 years and she's never seen snakes.
Oh.
So I don't know. Maybe this guy has been doing a little.
Oh.
I mean, I don't want to, you know, I don't know what this guy's been up to, but who knows?
We have
maybe he's seeing things that aren't actually there.
We have a discrepancy,
yes,
in Lexington.
Just a little bit.
13 minutes now in front of the hour. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to the Department of Justice has named Robert Mueller, the former director of the FBI, as a special prosecutor to investigate Russian interference in the election and ties between the Trump administration and Russia. The Justice Department made the announcement last night following 10 days of political chaos. Republican Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma.
It's a good hybrid to be able to keep the career folks at FBI and to be able to make sure they can continue to do their job, but you have an independent person as the final decision maker in the direction.
Meanwhile, Mike Flynn, Donald Trump's fired national security advisor, told the president-elect's transition team that he was the subject of a federal investigation, but was hired for the post anyway. The New York Times says Flynn told the presidential transition team's chief lawyer about the investigation on January 4th, weeks before assuming the highly sensitive post. The White House fired Flynn after just 24 days. A jury has acquitted of first-degree manslaughter a white Oklahoma police officer who says she fired out of fear last year when she killed an unarmed black man with his hands held above his head. The family of Terrence Crutcher burst into tears and reacted with outrage after jurors found Tulsa officer Betty Jo Shelby not guilty in the September 16th shooting, Crutcher's sister, Tiffany.
Terrence was not the aggressor. Betty Shelby was the aggressor. Betty Shelby had the gun. Betty Shelby was following him with his hands up.
A lawyer for Shelby said the officer was elated that the jury found her not guilty. U.S. immigration arrests increased nearly 40% in early 2017 as newly emboldened agents under President Trump detained more than 40,000 people suspected of being in the country illegally, with a renewed focus on immigrants without criminal convictions. But deportations were down from late January to late April compared with a year ago. Well, there's no doubt about it. We love our fast food. According to a new study of 8,000 adults, 80% report eating fast food at least once a week. The study found that long work hours were tied to consuming more KFC, Mickey D's, and Taco Bell.
Ooh, once a week?
Yes.
Wow.
And I'm sure there's some who are eat many more times,
yeah,
than once a week.
Listen, I like fast food, but not. I don't do it once a week. Holy cow. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Glad you're with us. Some Dutch passengers on KLM flights might have recognized the co-pilot's voice when he introduced himself on the airline's Cityhopper services. It was not just their co-pilot telling them weather conditions and estimated time of arrival. It was their king. The Associated Press says King Willem-Alexander told national newspaper De Telegraaf in an interview published yesterday that he's ended his role as a regular guest pilot after 21 years on KLM's fleet of Fokker 70 planes and before that on Dutch carrier Martin Air. He will now retrain to fly Boeing 737s as the Fokkers are being phased out of service. It's no secret that he's a qualified pilot who sometimes flew KLM passenger flights, just not clear how frequently it happened. De Telegraaf says he does it twice a month, and as a guest flyer, the king is always co-pilot. And even when he makes announcements to passengers, Willem Alexander says that as co-pilot, he doesn't have to give his name, so only some people recognize his voice. He says most of them aren't listening anyway. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.